Lay. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2025 Valero Texas Open. We are 1 week away from the Masters, which is a beautiful, beautiful time of the year. But we'll preview this week to get you ready. It's actually a good-looking field for week prior to the Masters. You can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS. My co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Guys. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. It's a Monday, so that's always got its pluses and minuses with it. But overall,
mostly
we're doing
minuses, correct?
Yes, yes. But we're doing well. We get to talk some golf here for a little bit. What do you think of the Houston Open? Where most people say is a better comparison to Augusta than this week in San Antonio.
Yeah, I mean, minus the scores and the difficulty of Augusta, I think. It was all right. I didn't play. I had one lineup last. Of course, we didn't get to talk about this on the podcast last week because of the scheduling stuff. But, we've been talking about Minwoo for the last couple of months, and I bet him a couple of times. Of course, didn't bet him last week. It's a perfect place for him. His driver is not super accurate, and you can hit it pretty much anywhere you want to if you just stay out of the water. And he got the job done. So, yeah, I'm just kind of surprised. That Scotty didn't play better on Saturday, but that's what really cost him the win there.
Yeah, no, I was surprised too, because like I told you, I was pretty busy over the weekend. So I was watching a lot from my phone. I saw Scotty just making that charge on Saturday. I'm like, uh-oh, here we go. He's figuring it out just in time for Augusta. And then on Sunday, he's kind of petered around like at one under for a while. And then towards the end, he made a little bit of a run, but never could, like, he was, what, he finished one off the lead, but
he shot 7 under on Sunday. He shot,
it was like all on the back
one under there. On Saturday. Yeah,
it was just kind of putt-putting along. So yeah, thought he was coming.
I'm with you. I mean, Minwoo just did just enough to get the win, and you know, good for him. He's a very likable guy. Did you see him? You probably didn't see it, but on 18, he hit it long over the green, and then he had a really good lag putt to about 6 inches, and then pretend like he was doing the what's the putting shit that everybody's doing now?
Oh, the
it's so annoying.
I saw him. Yeah, he walked up. It's God, I'm fully blanking on it now. Yeah. It's what they make fun of Morikawa and Homer.
Aim point. Aim point. He walked up to the aim point. Now on 8,
and then he chuckled. I saw the laugh. He gave it the laugh.
Yeah, like, it was a troll, but it was a good troll. On 8, it took him like 30 minutes to take a drop on 8, which pissed off the dude who's playing with.
I saw Toasty was pretty pumped.
Yes,
on that.
Toasty.
Yes, yeah. Toasty. So, he's got the perfect nickname for his attitude. By the way,
he is a basket case.
I love it. Absolutely. Mayo's talked about him forever. And like, I had a lot of Toasty this past week. They need just a camera on this guy. I remember seeing stuff from the tournaments back, like where he missed a chip and like basically there was stuff flying. And he's a 4-letter king, if I'll just put it that way. Stuff like he's our new Tyrrell Hatton, essentially. It's not the same talent pool.
Right. Yeah.
He's our guy.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's a good comparison there. But so you know, Rory played pretty well. Did you see Rory talk about his elbow?
Yes, yes. And then I see like different Rappaport and some other guys trying to say like, oh, he's just downplaying as the expectations are high. I'm like, I'm sorry, bro. He needs the Masters for the Grand Slam. The expectations are always high around Rory, so shut
it. Yeah,
I heard that. So
I do think it's a great year for him. I mean, he's coming in and
he's playing great,
great form. You know, so we'll probably have way too much next week when that time comes, and I plan on betting him to win. But you know, I don't know. It's it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, I mean, you know, the Houston Open is over, and then we just go down to San Antonio.
Yeah, go to San Antonio. But one last thing on the Rory, it made me laugh this morning. Like he lands in Augusta, and everyone's like, "Look at tracking his flight." Well, people missed the memo. He played in Augusta the Monday before the Houston Open too.
Yeah.
Like and a lot of these guys are doing that, FYI, to people out there. Like this is, it's the beauty of a the Masters is just one of the only tournaments that's played the same course every time for a major.
Right.
So these guys can literally just hop in, hop out, do their thing because it's never busy. So
yeah. One of those things. It's almost on the way home. I mean, it's not quite on the way home, but it's not that far out of the way. And I'm sure they are very accommodating when Rory McIlroy says he would like to play.
Yeah, and I'm not saying he's not taking it seriously, but I'm like, I'm pretty sure these guys do this way more than we're giving it credit for.
100%. Anyway. Yeah.
All right, let's talk TPC, or Valero Texas Open at TPC San Antonio, a tournament that we've seen quite a few times, but leading up to the Masters this go-round. And again, like I said earlier in the show, for a week before a major, not a bad field.
Yeah, it's not terrible at all. Yeah, I mean, I would this week and last week feel like they were better fields than what we normally are getting at those tournaments, so that's nice.
Yep, I'm with you that one. What do you got for some past event history here?
Yeah, last year, Akshay won in a playoff over Denny McCarthy. They were 20 under par. Corey Connors has won this tournament twice. The last time was in 2023, 15 under one shot over Sam Stevens. 2022 is J.J. Spaun, 13 under two shots over Matt Jones and Matt Kuchar. 2021 was Jordan Spieth, 18 under two shots over Charlie Hoffman. Didn't have a tournament in 2020 because of COVID. Corey Connors won as a Monday qualifier in 2019, 20 under two shots over Charlie Hoffman, Andrew Landry, Kevin Chappell, Charlie Hoffman, Stephen Bowditch, past winners.
Bowdo.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Yeah, no, it's an event that used to not bring a massive field to it for the reasons we mentioned, but they're getting it in this week. And a little course preview for you here. It's TPC San Antonio. Again, we've seen this one quite a bit. Par 72, about 7,450 yards, give or take. We're looking, it's your Texas-style golf course. You're going to have, it's narrow, narrow fairways. One of the top, like, 15 toughest courses on tour year in and year out. Last year is 13th hardest. Winner gets into the Masters, which is always a plus. But you're going to have the undulating fairways. There's a lot of elevation changes, some canyons like you get through a lot of these Texas courses. The par fives average almost 590 yards. So like I said earlier, a little different than last week for these guys. They come out to be one of the toughest par five groupings on the entire PGA Tour, which is pretty big. A stat we like to keep around here is bogeys are better. Tons of doubles. Big numbers take place in this golf course because wind can play a massive factor here. In recent years, you can get some major swings in waves if it gets windy. I haven't seen a ton of weather to be worried about just yet, but we'll keep an eye on that, of course. You got ryegrass and fescue green fairways and rough. You have poa and I just totally blanked. It's overseeded fairways, essentially, and overseeded greens. It's like what we're getting on most of these early courses here for the, I don't want to call it spring swing. Is that what we're going
to
call it? Spring
swing? Yeah, that's probably the best way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how to put it, the spring swing. And it's going to be fast. It's going to be firm. It's going to be fast. They're going to try to make it difficult for a major sense without having all the major's factors, if that makes sense at all. So, you're going to have to be accurate. You're going to have to be able to, you know, long irons are accurate with the driver. You pick your poison. But either way, like Jesse said, with some of the scores there, not a lot of high scoring overall at this event, and you need to avoid the big number in a big way. What do you got for some stats you're looking at?
Yeah, I mean, I typically this week, I think driving distance matters, greens and regulation just about like every week. This is a more resorty type of course, so if they do toughen it up, obviously they just make it firm and fast. I think it's the only way to really kind of make it more difficult, but plenty of course history to wait there as well.
Yep, TPC courses always have a way to make it happen. That's for darn sure. All right, let's get into the DK for the week here. We got four guys over 10,000. It feels like it's been like Rory and Scotty and then maybe one other guy. But we get four guys this week, and it starts with Ludwig at 10.8, Fleetwood at 10.7, Patrick Cantlay at 10.2, and Corey Connors, who's won here twice, at 10.1. Who do you like in this range?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to play Ludwig, 14th here last year, but he's coming off a miscut at the Players. He does have a win, you know, within the last 6 weeks, so it's not like he's playing bad. Fleetwood is, you know, the prototypical ball striker, 7th here last year, four straight top 16s. If you go back even further, I mean, like the form is really, really good for Fleetwood. Hitting the ball really well. It's just a matter of whether or not he can keep up making putts with these guys. Then, of course, you got Corey Connors, won this twice, has never missed a cut here. And, you know, it's like worst finish is 35th in 2022, finished 25th here last year. Playing really well, coming in three straight top 10s for Corey Connors. Pretty incredible. Goes back to a place that he loves. I mean, how do you fade Corey Connors?
Yep. If I'm paying up, Corey's the duties. You know, like you mentioned, the history here is amazing. This is one of those courses that course history is pretty solid indicator for a lot of these guys. Connors plays great here, as you mentioned. The recent form is nuts. Like, they're all top 10s, as you also said. So, love me some Corey. I'm assuming we're not alone on that one. And Ludwig's my dude, too, because if, you know, he's coming in not in his best of form like we saw early in the season when he was on the West Coast swing. But if there's ever a guy that can bomb it accurately, he's usually your dude. 11th in the field in par 5 scoring, 5th in opportunities gained, 4th in birdie or better. So he takes advantage when he's out there. You got to love Ludwig in that sense if you want to hope for a bounce back. It's just hard to pay this much for Tommy knowing he can't finish. One day he will. One day Tommy will finish.
Maybe.
Like, it's just like, I don't know if I can keep doing it because he's playing well, but he's finishing like 15th, and 15th doesn't work at 10-7. Like, right. That's just the problem in this scenario. So, like, he's great at bogey avoidance, good drives, all that stuff, but it's tough. And, you know, Patrick Cantlay, whatever. All right, 9K range. You got Matsuyama at 99, Spieth 97, Bradley 95, Ashke, the defending champ, at 93, Daniel Berger at 92, Denny McCarthy 9,000. This is a range where I have every guy checked off.
Yeah, circling back to the 10K range real quick. Basically, what we just said is Cantlay is going to win. So
yes, because like there's just there's a point. You and I both like course history. Cantlay hasn't like never plays in Texas ever,
no,
ever, and then. Yeah. He rarely ever plays before a major. Like, there's just so many factors. And, like, this isn't a Cantlay situation. So
when's last? He hasn't won in forever. I mean, it's probably
he'll show up and shoot like 14 under and win by 3 strokes. And
yeah,
you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Surprising, that's just how it works for sure.
Spieth at 97. I mean, he's not ever missed. He's never missed a cut here. At least going back to 2013. So since 2013, he missed a cut then. But 2014 and beyond, he's not played every single year. But a lot of years has won, obviously here. His worst finish is 35th again, come off a 28th place finish at the Valspar. I think he's a great GPP play. Keegan at 95, 8th here in his last start, which was 2022. He's made 3 consecutive cuts at this event, but that's 2022 and backwards. He's playing, he's coming in pretty good form, 20th, 5th in his last 2 starts, which were elevated, you know, major type events with the API and the players. Berger at 92. Course history is not good. Miscut in his 2 starts. That was 2019, 2015. So it's been a while, but 3, 4, 5 straight top 25s for Berger. Pretty solid there. And yeah, that's where I'm kind of in. I mean, it's a great region. There's a lot of good course history with great form coming in. Obviously, only 6 guys, but still, I like half of them.
It makes it very palatable to see if like Connors is chalky, just be like, you know what, I'm going to drop down, see where things go. Hideki at 99, he's 13th in my model. He's first in the field around the green over the last 24 rounds. He's second in par 5 scoring, which is a plus. He's a trickier one for me because like he miscut the players. Okay, kind of all grain of salt that a little bit. 22nd at the API. He's taking a lot of time off. He's not playing the little dink and dunk events, but 7th, 15th, withdraw 30th. So obviously plays well here. Spieth has played great here. He's been, I don't want to offend anybody, but basically bipolar week to week out there. You don't know which guy you're going to get when it comes to, he's either contending or just trunk slamming all over the golf course. You don't know what you're going to get with Spieth. Probably makes for a good tournament play, but might be too popular for that. Keegan plays great, always gets overlooked. Tough courses is his jam, can find fairways with the best of them. So he'll be one of my favorite plays in this range. Ashke, the defending champ. Berger is number 1 in my model. You mentioned the recent form, 20th, 15th, 25th. He's played really well here. In this field, he's first in par 4 scoring. He's 4th in bogey avoidance. He's 6th in good drives. Like, he just does all the things that you're looking for here. The McCarthy was lost in a playoff last year, for crying out loud. So the boy knows how to play the golf course. So, yeah, all these guys are phenomenal. McCarthy and Bradley are probably going to be the two lowest owned in this range, I'd imagine, just off the top of my head. So you can build around that as you wish. 8K range, you got Killer Keith, who always rates out well, and you never know what you're getting there either. Tony Finau at 88, Siwoo at 87, Sam Burns at 86, Post at 85, Tom Kim at 84, Bud Colley at 83, Bridgman 82, Maverick McNeely 81, and Sam Stevens at 8,000. What do you like in this range?
Keith Mitchell, 8,900. He's never missed a cutter in three starts, 14th, 17th, 26th in those three starts, 18th last week. Played well at the Valspar. He just had a didn't have a good weekend. He started really well and I think was like the first round leader, at least tied for it. Kind of fell off a little bit, but I think he's totally fine. Siwoo at 8,700. He's made 6 straight cuts at this event. Best finish was 4th in 2019, 39th last year, 2023, 13th in 2022. Coming off a missed cut at the Houston Open. 73-67, which puts him right at even par. I think the cut was 2 last week. Before that, he made 5 straight cuts. But this is a place where, you know, obviously, Siwoo was kind of a course history type of dude. And, you know, I'm not saying he's going to win, but, you know, I think he's a solid play. Bud Colley at 8,300, 39th here last year, which was his first start here since 2019. However, Bud is back-to-back top 10s, 4th. At the Valspar, 6th at the Players off after a miscut in Puerto Rico. So, Bud is a guy who definitely has the ability to contend, especially in a field like this. And then Sam Stevens at 8,000, 14th last year, 2nd the year before that, coming off an 18th place finish in Houston last week. So, seems like he's got it going in the right direction.
Yep. I'm with you on that as well. For me, Killer Keith, like I was kind of joking, but he's 18th in my model. I'll just keep playing him. Put together a good week last week after the miscut at the Players. Miscut, 54th, just kind of hung around at the Valspar, 18th last week. Much more what we're looking for from Keith Mitchell, and he plays very, very well here, as you mentioned. Siwoo Kim, I'm on as well for the same reasons. Good course history. Miscut last week at Houston. He has to win to get into the Masters because he's not into the Masters. So I'll take whatever ammo Siwoo needs to get going. Bud Colley is 4th in my model. So to all your points about him, yes. And I have him written down for something later in the show as well. So Bud Colley, 7th in par 4 scoring, 8th in birdie or betters, just does everything really well. Bridgman at 82, he's 12th in my model. I'll just keep running him out there. Like the history obviously isn't the best at this event because honestly, he missed the cut here last year in his first attempt, but now we're seeing a guy that missed cut last week, 3rd at the Valspar, 50th, 15th, 2nd. So 3 of the last 4 made cuts, 15th or better, which is really good stuff there from Bridgman. And then Sam Stevens is the last one here, finished 18th last week at the Houston Open, 14th here last year, 2nd the year before. So if we're talking about a guy with good course history, it would be a guy I would look at. He rates out probably pretty poorly in your model. He's 87th in my model, but for doing course history, loves this place. Good finish last week. Could get some low on Sam Stevens as well. 75 to 79 starts out with Ben Griffin, who just missed his ticket to the Masters last week with Mike Kim finishing 50th and Griffin finishing 51st. He missed one putt. One putt was all it was. He's $7,900. Jake Knapp, 79, all the way down to Novak, Harmon, and Fox and Hodges all at 75. So who do you like in this range?
Start with Ben Griffin, 7,900, 39th here last year. Did miss the cut the year before that, but coming off that 18th place finish last week. 2 consecutive miscuts before that, but coming in pretty good form there off the 18th last week. Woodland, man, we didn't even talk about him before the like during the wrap-up. He finished 2nd in the tie for 2nd, had a really solid Sunday, 62 on Sunday for Gary Woodland. So that's a 2nd place finish last week, 47th the week before that at Valspar, and his course history is 8th, 6th, 26th in the last 3 starts, which are 22, 21, and 15. So it's not recent, but he has played well at this course in the past. Gerard at 7,600, 56th here last year, 9th last week, 57th week before that, 42nd at the Players. Dude's just kind of churning out top, made cuts, really just cashing checks. Rico Hui at 7,600, 14th here last year and 11th last week And then last for me in this range is Lee Hodges at 7,500. Course history is not great. It's miscut, sixth miscut, but 11th in Houston, and hasn't missed a cut since the Shriners back in October. So playing pretty solid golf coming in.
For sure. I'm going to keep going back to Ben Griffin. He's fifth in my model. He's second in good drives, which you obviously need here. He's third in the field in the long par threes, which will be important, 11th in approach. All the things we're looking for at this golf course. Finished 18th last week after back-to-back missed cuts. Was playing great golf leading into that, so it's good to see him get back on track. Started following him on Twitter. Very funny stuff he's got pouring out there right now as he's kind of embracing the fact he just missed out on the Masters, which has to really like to have that kind of in you. Thanks a lot. 39th here last year after a missed cut, so I don't mind Ben Griffin at $7,900. Woodland at 78. The course history is great. You mentioned the finish last week. Around the green game's been brutal lately, but everything else is trending in the right direction. If you want to go there, Harry Hall's another guy. Boomer bust, GPP only at 77. Rico Hoey at 76. I like a lot this week. If last year he finished 14th in his debut at this golf course, finished 11th last week at Houston, miscut 33rd at the Players, 26th Puerto Rico, 25th Cognizant. So putting together some really nice rounds. He can get birdies and bunches, so he's a good DK scorer as well. Ryan Gerard at 76, for the same reasons you mentioned, coming in phenomenal form. I like that. And then I don't mind some Ryan Fox at 75, 15th last week, 47th and 20th the last 3 weeks for Mr. Fox. He's coming out with two missed cuts here, though, so pick your poison accordingly. That would be one, but great form. Course history, not so much, so decide as you wish. 74 to 7K goes Hoffman, P. Raj, Taylor Moore, Chris Kirk, Tom Hoagie at 74, all the way down to a slew at 7,000, highlighted by Ryo Hiestuni. What do you like in this range?
Isaiah Saldana at 7,300. He's never played here, but 11th last week. Hasn't missed a cut since the American Express back in the middle of January. Just for Svensson, I've mentioned before at 7,200 here. He was around, I think he was in the Scheffler group, I think. Anyways, he 72 on Sunday. You just get absolutely lapped at a place where 20 under wins a score when you shoot two over par. But he was in position going into that last round. And, you know, since he's come over from the DP World Tour, you know, he kind of a little bit of a rocky start, but he's made six consecutive cuts on tour. Since, you know, kind of coming over PGA Tour full time. Nicholas Norgaard at 7,100. The model just likes him, so we'll just leave it at that. Victor Perez at 7,100, 45th here last year, 18th last week, 22nd week before, 18th week before that. Solid form for Victor there. Matty Schmidt at 7,000. Two out of two made cuts here, 69th and 46th the last 2 years. He's coming off a missed cut last week, but he missed it on the number. And 20th of the Valspar, missed cut players. A couple other made cuts before that. Rio, 7,000. I think he's definitely playable. And then Chan Kim at 7,000 as well. 14th here last year, 39th last week.
Yep, we are on a lot of the same page on this one, but I'll start with, if you want to go course history, Hoffman, used to be like his invitational, essentially, and he is playing better golf this year at 74. I think there's better plays, but would never be shocked if Hoffman plays well here. P. Raj at 74, tournaments only. I'm going to specify that right now, out the gate, tournaments only. It's always tournaments only with P. Raj, to be honest, but 7,400 bucks. We saw him 52nd last week. Missed cut at the Players, 22nd at API, 18th at the Cognizant. So 3 out of 4 made cuts. Looking good there. And if you look at past history, withdrew last year, but 5th, 58th missed cut. So we know he can go low here if necessary, if you want to get dicey. Might not need to go there. Just throwing it out. Chris Kirk at 74. Didn't play here last year, but 10th, 35th, 6th in his last 3 appearances at the Houston Open. Kirk's coming in with a 42nd, the Players 22nd, 56. So not elite finishes, but not too shabby. Tom Hoagie, if we're talking approach game, Tom Hoagie really gets me going on this golf course. Like, he rates out 107th in my model, so that's horrible because he's been playing really, really rough overall. But that's why I keep firing off. This guy's won golf tournaments. We saw him finish 3rd at the Players, 40th at the API, So like he's getting better because he's missing cuts after cut after cut for a while there. Hasn't played here since 2021 where he finished 12th. So Hoagie at 74, I think, is a really interesting tournament play. Kuchar is a really good cash game play. Great course history. I don't know if he's got that dog in him to finish anymore, but Kuchar at 73. If you're going course history, Bo Hosler's made at least five straight cuts here at $7,200. He loves his Texas golf courses. So you can go to Bo. Eric Cole in tournaments, missed cut in a 39th here, but this is a guy we know he gets streaky. Last two events, 15th at Houston, 12th at Valspar. So if you want to see, one of these days, Cole's going to run away with one. Kind of how Michael Kim did at John Deere a while ago. Like, he just got that in him, and then we won't see him again for like 3 years, but that's what it feels like. Putnam has played really well here, 14th, 28th, 41st, missed cut 36th the last 5 years of this golf course. Don't mind him. Has Svensson checked off with you as well. And then I want to highlight Victor Perez. You mentioned his current form's outstanding. He's one of my favorite players. I think he's mispriced at $7,100 personally in this field. I think it's because he's a Euro golfer most of the time, and he's not well-known maybe. I don't know, but I think he's well mispriced at $7,100. And other than that, I have Chan Kim as well at $7,000 and McGreevy at $7,000 and Ryu at $7,000. I like a lot of differentiation in the $7,000 range. And bottom is what you can make happen. All right, $6,000 I hate, absolutely hate. So yeah. What do you like here?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it either. I got Ricky Castillo at 6,900. Never played here, coming off a missed cut, but was playing pretty solidly before that. Had made six straight cuts before last week. And then I got Stephen Fisk at 6,600. Again, never played here. Again, coming off a missed cut, but had made some cuts prior to that, very up and down. It's crazy the names at the bottom of this list. I was just looking at them. Jimmy Walker, Kevin Kisner, Francisco Molinari, Ryan Palmer.
2020.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, it used to be Ryan Palmer. Like, we're in Texas. We're just playing Ryan Palmer in cash. Oh. Like, it was 50% owned. So, yeah, man, golf is such a mind fuck, and then you die. That's the only two I've got in the 6K. Yeah. I don't really know what else to tell you.
It's funny you mentioned that. It was Palmer. Walker was a Texas play, like, yeah, all the time. West Coast and Texas, you play Jimmy Walker. That's just how it worked. Mm. Kids, you could just trust no matter where you went.
Right. Like, it's very cash worthy at one point in his life.
You got Molinari's down there. Like, that's a rough.
Almost won the Masters in 2019.
Yeah, good Lord. So for me, if I'm digging in here, which I'm going to try not to, Justin Lowers at 69. He's one that if you look back here, 25th last year, 70th the year before. I'm pretty much just looking for guys that have played well here at this range. Like Chris Goddard, $6,800, another guy I'm not over the moon with, and he missed the cut here last year, but he's coming in at least swinging it half decent. Finished 18th last week after two missed cuts and then 16th. So if I'm looking at a punt GPP play, two missed cuts but two top 18s, like that's something you can work around there. But yeah, I really. Mateo Manicero is the last one I'll mention. He's had the ability to go low but also implode, but I would do everything I can to stay at the 6K range. All right, let's recap things. Jesse, 10K and above, who you liking?
I'll say Corey Connors.
Yes, it is the Corey Connors show. We're all just hanging around. 9K range.
I'm going to say Keegan.
Keegan is the play. I'll go to Daniel Berger then. Like those two quite a bit. 8K.
Siwoo.
Siwoo Kim. I'll go Bud Cauley at 83. 75 to 79.
I'll say Gerard.
I'm going to go with Rico Hoey. 7K to 74.
Perez.
Yeah, it's Victor Perez. I can't even give you. Well, since there's so many, I'll give you one, but it's Victor Perez. I'll go to be different. Tom Hoagie. I hope people stay off him because they see how he ranks out in models. And then 6K.
Stephen Fisk.
I'll go Justin Lauer. Fisk is good. He's coming in pretty good form. Like, I don't mind that as a punt play, that's for sure. All right, if you're building the cash lineup this week, what are you looking to build around?
I think I'm going to go Keith Mitchell, Siwoo, and Siwoo, where are you at? I don't know what that leaves me. But I also say Gerard.
Yeah, I was going to go with Bud Cauley, Victor Perez, and Keegan Bradley. That's where I'd start out. Could start out a tournament lineup like that, too. Speaking of tournament lineups, where would you like to start out this week?
Yeah, I think it's Perez. I need to sort this a different way so I can get my mind right. Corey Connors, Victor Perez, and Lee Hodges.
I like that. I'm going to go with Keegan, Berger, and Perez. That'll be my main three out the gate there. All right, who do you have winning this thing?
Yeah, I think I'll put a little bit of money on Corey Connors at 16, Keegan at 25, Bud Colley at 45, and then Girard at 70. And dipping my toes into a little bit of your foray, the Victor Perez top 20 is plus 280.
Well, I was looking at DK, unless it just changed. I have Victor Perez top 20 at plus 330. He must have FanDuel, I'm guessing.
No, I'm looking at DK as well.
It must have just changed. Like right before the show, I wrote him down. It's dropped already.
Awesome. Why wouldn't it? You know,
I did this 40 minutes ago, like right before the show. It's already dropped. I had it at plus 330. That's awesome. Okay. Mm-hmm. I had Bud Colley at plus 220 to top 10. Liked that one as well. And then, yeah, unless it hasn't refreshed, but then I have a Berger at plus 160 to top 10. I know I usually don't go that
high. You mean top 20s, right?
Top 20. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Top 20. Berger at top 20 at plus 160. There's no such thing as free money in golf, but that seems pretty sweet. I'm just going to throw it out there for the form he's playing. Again, he's probably going to finish 22nd now just to really shove it. But, yeah, Berger T20 at plus 160, Colley plus 220, Vic Perez. I had it plus 330. It's down to plus 280. I think Vic, honestly, if you're a long shot guy and just overalls, I put Vic at top. Do the each ways if you can. Pick him to win with an each way, like eight places or something.
Each of those have decreased odds too, because Berger's at plus 140 and Colley's at plus 190. I don't know if somebody like withdrew or something, but that's
amazing. Like
pretty big odds movements there.
40 minutes ago for odds on those guys is pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's wild.
But all right, any final thoughts, my friend? We got the Masters next week, where it's going to be outstanding.
Yep, I can't wait for that. Just let me know when you would like to record. I'd be open probably Sunday, because I'm sure. Yep. We will have salaries by Friday or Saturday. Friday.
Yeah.
So if that works better for you, just let me know. And then that would, you know, whatever.
We probably will, my friend.
The Masters, this is like official opening of golf season, and it's supposed to rain for the next 5 days around here. So I'll have plenty of time.
Beautiful. Can't wait to get in and record that one. Talk about the, a field of like 90 golfers where half of them have no chance to win. So it's got a really narrow thing. That's always the thing about that tournament that makes me laugh. It's like, we get so pumped, but the field really isn't that great. It's all about Augusta. It's all about the course for the Masters for the most part.
I'm with you.
Yeah. We'll have fun with that and much, much more. But for now, good luck this week. You can follow Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I'm at BD Antrick. This was your 2025 Valero Texas Open Preview. Catch you up. Show goes on all night till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever